Okay.
Now, here a few weeks back, as most of you know, on Wednesday night, we kind of broke off from doing a regular verse-by-verse Bible study after we finished up a book and decided we were going to go and just kind of do a quick survey of some of the cults around. And, Lord, folks, this is not to... This is not to glorify, something, spiritual wickedness. This is not to flaunt something that's wrong in front of folks to taunt them. It is to, we're supposed to be soldiers of Jesus Christ. And I would remind you, once in a while, somebody says, well, I just don't think you should go into all the details of all the things that these cults believe, and I would say that there's a level of that that's justified. We don't have to go in extraordinary detail into every little sordid detail of all these things, but at the same time, I would remind you that if you read your Bible through, you will find that the Lord is quite detailed in going through and naming names and naming doctrines that were wrong, naming some men that held those doctrines wrong. So I don't have any bashfulness at all in saying that Catholicism's a cult. I have no bashfulness at all to say, when we're talking about Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons and so on, that those things are cults, and here is what they believe. And as I said, folks, the story has it that all the tellers that are trained to, pick out counterfeit money, that actually all that they ever allow them to handle is the real thing. Because if you've handled the real thing, you immediately know when you've touched something counterfeit. Now, I know that we're going to, go in a little bit into some of these cults to expose some of the things that they believe. Just because, we were over at the Keogh's house here the other night, and actually Paulo Ladadio called, and, he moved to Mississippi here a couple months back. And he's... getting quite a name down there, I guess. There's a couple of churches that are passing him back and forth doing these, Catholic cult studies. And what's amazing about it, folks, is that here you have these, you're talking about the buckle of the Bible Belt in Mississippi, and the Mississippians, apparently, that he's dealing with don't know anything about Catholicism and didn't realize that they weren't Christians. And I hope that when this is all said and done, and not just, the next few weeks, but I hope by the time this ministry is over, that none of you will have managed to get through thinking that one of the cults is, okay. Now, we're going to break off into something here. We've talked about kind of some of the major ones. We've talked about Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons and then a couple of weird things here last week with Scientology. But I'm going to take a little bit different route here tonight and maybe hit something that you didn't expect. I want to talk to you about something that is known as the cult of antiquity. And what I mean by that, and when I tell you what it is, it may or may not mean anything to you. They actually have a couple of 300 churches in the United States and so on. But the reason that it's... that this one is important is because this is a cult that has invaded many times branches of Christianity. And the name of the cult is actually Spiritism. Some people call it Spiritualism. And the truth of the matter is, when it boils down, this is the cult that ought to scare charismatic Pentecostals absolutely to death, because they've adopted a bunch of it. This is a cult that ought to scare Roman Catholics absolutely out of the Catholic Church, because they've adopted a lot of it. I'll explain a little more to you in a second. Let me establish something first, if you'd allow me. Look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Certain cults kind of operate on something of a system, that is, there's a kind of a theme behind them. If there is a theme, for instance, behind, If there's a theme behind spiritism, it's experience. It's the idea that I've seen it, I've felt it, I heard it, I did it, whatever. Therefore, it has to be real. Now, that ought to ring a bell with any of you that ever were charismatic or that ever were around the charismatic movement very much. And folks, I believe that, don't get me wrong, I think there's a whole bunch of charismatics that are saved, and for that I'm glad. But saved people get messed up in cultic stuff as well and false doctrine. Look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and let me go through a verse or two here. Notice verse 8. Now, it's we're kind of picking up in the middle, but this is talking about it's talking about the Antichrist and the great tribulation to come. But in verse 8 it says, "Then shall that wicked," notice the capital W, that's the Antichrist, "be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth," that'd be at the second coming, "and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan," and notice, "with all power and signs and lying wonders." In other words, the Antichrist, as many times do Antichrist, actually show up with real power. Now, I hope you realize that not every charismatic's a fraud. That not every spiritualistic thing, that not all ESP, that not all psychic events, that not all poltergeists, that not all that stuff. Now, there's an awful lot of fraudulent, you know, hicky, weird stuff going on. You know, it's just hinky as can be. You're talking about Benny Hinn and all that. There's a whole bunch of stuff in that that's just as hinky, just as crooked as can be. But there's some of this stuff that's just as real as can be, too. And I hope to, by the time it's over, for you to see some of that. Let me take you to a couple other verses just to establish to make sure that not all false religion is powerless. Look in Matthew 7. Not all false religion is powerless. Not all cultic activity is fraudulent in the sense, I'm not talking about it being what it should be, genuine. I'm talking about as far as the power behind it being fraudulent, it's not. I have no doubt in my mind, folks, that there are people that are healed. I have no doubt in my mind that God still heals people. I have no doubt in my mind that there are a bunch of people that say God heals people and they get by on a bunch of hinky pretense. But I also have no doubt in my mind that there's somebody else that heals some. And that would be the devil. We just read the verse back in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now look in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, and notice verse 22. Matthew 7, 22. Hope if I beat you there. Matthew 7, 22. "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works?" Now he didn't say, "Oh, you did not cast out any devils." Not what he said, did he? Okay. In other words, there is going to be a spiritual power behind some things that don't have anything to do with Christ, but they are done in the name of Christ. And that's a real important thing. Look in 1 Peter chapter 5. I know you know these verses, but maybe you never quite looked at them quite like this. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, and notice, we're saying, I want to ask you, you know, we all say, well, you know, yeah, we believe in the devil, but how much do you believe in the devil? I mean, do you really believe that the devil is what the Bible says he is and that he has the power the Bible says he does? That he could do to you what the Bible says he could do to you? Do you believe that? Because it says in 1 Peter 5, verse 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Now, I don't know how many people have literally been eaten by the devil in the last, say, 100 years. I really don't. I didn't read about any of those. So then, how does he devour? Well, it seems to me it begins with what you believe. And it seems to me that it then goes on over into you being deceived by the devil. And if you get deceived enough, he's got you. Right? And so, what I, you know, the intent here is to establish that the devil has legitimate spiritual and sometimes material power. And the worst thing in the world that you can do, I mean, the worst thing in the world you can do is trust and experience. Now, anybody, and most people have had dealings here with somebody that you've were trying to lead to Christ or trying to lead right back to Christ. And but they had some experience, and I'm not talking about a bad experience, a, you know, abusive type thing so much, as I'm talking about they saw something contrary to the Bible, or that they maybe don't consider contrary to the Bible, but they saw something, felt something, and so on, and that thing has them hung up, and what they're relying on more than the Bible is they're relying on their experience. Now, I don't know if you've ever been there. Most of us probably have, but that is basically what Spiritism plays to. In short, Spiritism is the demonstration that there is a continuity of life past the grave. For instance, it's kind of funny because I had several occult studies ready to go, and I was really torn trying to figure out which one I was going to do tonight. So I got in my car. Now you got to understand my car. The antenna broke off. So all I'm receiving these days is FM. Well, there's nothing on FM but the classical station. And the only thing I can get on AM, the only really overbearing radio station is 830 WCCO. So I went to CCO this morning to see what the weather was. And when the weather went off, now I don't know who it is in, on there, but just talk show type stuff. And apparently, every week, this lady talk show host has this person on who takes calls and answers questions. I don't even know her name. But she was on there answering questions this morning when I flipped on the radio. And she's taking calls from people who have lost loved ones who are calling up and asking, well, I lost Aunt Billy Sue, and we were just wondering, is she all right? And I mean, immediate black. Now, Billy Sue was a redhead, wasn't she? Yes, she was. And go from there, and yes, Billy Sue, says to you that she's doing fine, and she's with the rest of your cousins and all, in the other life, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and goes on, and every single call is like that, and this person is always, and some of it has the sense of being hinky to me. In other words, it's kind of like some of the astrology stuff you hear. She lands on some general thing. Oh, your cousin was a very pretty lady, wasn't she? Oh, yes, she was, and that kind of stuff. But there's also some things that she says once in a while that are really specific that make me go, huh, I wonder about that. But now, this woman is on apparently weekly. Maybe it's even more than once a week. On a 50,000 billion watt radio station, being broadcast all across the Twin Cities. You know what she is? She's a spiritist. That's what it is. Spiritism basically is coupled with the fact that, you die, and that after death, that life is still good, and that basically the next life is not a next life. It's just basically on another spiritual plane, another life plane or something besides this, and they co-mingle with us, but because we are mortal, we can't see them at all. And, we get worried about them, but they're actually there in our lives, all those sort of things there. It's kind of like two parallel, realities or whatever. But that's what it's about. These folks believe in communication, interaction with the spirit world. These friends that have gone on before us are able to come back. And one of the things about this, and this is what I'm trying to establish, it's not just all goofy, hinky stuff. These people come back, and when contacted, and there's just all kinds of brands, and again, there's plenty of room for fraud in a lot of it. But some of these people are able to upon you standing up in an audience somewhere, it's been shown that they are able to tell you extraordinary details about your life, the lives of people you know, and so on and so forth. Very seriously. I'll give you some more on that later, but other things that kind of go along with this are levitation, physically moving objects or manipulating objects with, you know, psychic whatever, manipulating objects in, you know, in three dimensions. You know, a pencil stands on end all by itself, and, you know, a book levitates, and sometimes people levitate and all that kind of thing. Seances, visible appearances of spirits, prophesying. The ESP movement was big with this. Some of the magic, firewalking, handling live coals, you know, organs playing with nobody around, accordions playing with nobody around, you know, that kind of thing. And I've heard enough stories to know that there are hinky stories. But I also have heard enough to know that everybody that tells one of those stories is no fool. And to just say, it's all just a bunch of nonsense. Now, folks, that's not true. Now, for instance, I was just recently, I won't even, you know, I'm not going to tell you who, just recently, I was sitting down talking to somebody, and this lady lost her mother sometime in the last 2 or 3 years, and so on. And she and her sister, now, folks, this is a saved lady. She and her sister have both had the experience of waking up to a sensation of somebody's hand on their shoulder or on their arm, only nobody's there. But they have this sense that it's mom. Okay? Now, you know, and each of them have this independently and just kind of stumble on the fact that each other had this at about the same time and all that kind of stuff. It's spooky, all right? And so, you know, you do hear ghost stories and haunted house stories and all that kind of thing. And I want you to know, look, I'm not telling you this to try to raise your curiosity, especially if you're a young person, about it. I'm not trying to do that, but I'm also taking the risk of doing so that you will know that the Bible addresses these things and damns them and says that it is spiritual darkness. If you have managed to grow up or to be in this church for the number of years that you've been in this church, and this comes as a shock to you that the devil might actually have power in this material world, you've been going, you've got some naive glasses on the end of your nose. Because I hope you realize that the devil does have genuine spiritual and material power in this life. And this is what this is. Now again, you know, I begin this by saying that this is a cult, and by cult, I'll tell you that in 1949, there was supposed to have been close to 700,000 spiritists in the U.S. By 76, they were supposed to have had anywhere from 200 to 300 churches. They do have not so much denominations, but there are associations. The International General Assembly of Spiritualists, the Nationalist Spiritualist Alliance of the USA, the National Spiritualist Alliance of America, and so on. They say they don't know exactly how many there are. It's not really important that they're a modestly small cult as such. There's supposed to be a lot more by name in South America and in the Caribbean area, for what it's worth. But the reason that's not all that important is because their bent has made its way, you know, into an awful lot of people's lives that would never say, well, yeah, I'm a spiritist. I mean, there's an awful lot of charismatics. There's probably an awful lot of Baptists. There certainly are a lot of Roman Catholics. There are also just a lot of just everyday lost American people that believe in bits and pieces of this stuff. And they've bought into it enough that it's going to seal them in hell if they're not careful. And that's basically what we're battling. Like I said, the charismatics have fallen for it pretty much hook, line, and sinker. That's what an awful lot of the revelations and visions and miracle seeking and all have done. That's what a lot of the healing has done. I had a pastor tell me one time that he had a lady in his church, and she had some sort of physical problem or whatever. And she started going to a real spooky, weird, apostolic outfit in hopes of getting some relief for her, you know, for her ailments. And one night she went forward at the meeting and did get some help for her ailments, and said she went spiritually downhill completely after that and is absolutely nuts, for what it's worth, okay? And there's just an awful lot of stories like that. Folks, Roman Catholicism has welcomed this stuff in for 1,500 years. And that's what the saint worship's about. That's what praying to saints are about. You know, everybody, you know, that's what this, you know, this Yugoslavian visions of Mary and the Virgin and all this stuff's about. Those are interactions with the spirit world. Among other things that happens with spiritism is that you get in a seance, or you find a channeler or a necromancer or some New Age wacko who sits down and is able to contact your dead relatives, and they are able to tell you that they're okay and you're able to converse with them. And you get sucked in on the emotional stuff, okay? I mean, I was sitting there listening today, and I mean, you know, as soon as one person hung up and the next one's on the line, you know, people call in about their Aunt Maybell and their Uncle Harry and their, you know, son who died in Iraq. Are they okay now? Oh, yeah, they assure you that they're fine. And they're here with us right now, and you shouldn't worry. Don't you feel the warmth? Okay? That's where it goes. I'm serious now. For how this, for what it's worth, like I said, there's supposed to be 200 or 300 churches in the United States that would call themselves Spiritist as such. And again, the strongest appeal for this group is the appeal of somebody that just lost their loved ones. This movement attained popularity back in the 1840s, actually. I don't know if you've ever heard of somebody named Margaret Fox, but way back in 1848, the church historians give the movement in America its start there, where the Fox sisters, Margaret and Kate Fox, started hearing this rapping and bumping and so on in their upper bedroom in Hydesville, New York, apparently just outside Rochester. These became known as the Rochester Rappings. Rapping meant something different back there than it does today. But these ladies became mediums, channelers, necromancers, that's the Bible, diviners. That's the Bible terms for those things. And today, their cottage, their little house there, is a spiritualistic shrine. And the sign over the door is, "There is no death." Boy, are they in for a shock. Now, what I wanted to point out to you, and I prayed about reading this, because again, you know, there comes a point where I don't really want to encourage an awful lot of curiosity in it, but I also need to make sure that you understand that I'm just not saying that, well, this could be real, you better watch out for the devil. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that level-headed, reasonable people have looked into this, and there's real power with the devil. Okay, for instance, I told you about the Fox sisters. In the city of Boston, 1885, Mrs. Lenora Piper, wife of a Boston merchant, possessed of but limited education, began what was to be a 40-year career as a spiritualistic medium, a career which was to confound the best minds in research in both the U.S. and Europe with scientifically validated evidence, which has never been refuted. Now, this is a guy writing that is not pro-psychic or pro-spiritist. This is a guy that's writing from a, you know, objective viewpoint. Mrs. Piper became interested in spiritism after visiting a clairvoyant for the relief of severe pain after the birth of her first child. It was during sessions with him she lapsed into trances, during which period she could answer with amazing accuracy questions concerning persons who died. For some 26 years, she continued under the various spirit controls that possessed her during her trances as a medium. Stopped only in 1911 when the spirit suggested that her health would not bear the strain any longer. In 1924, Mrs. Piper conducted a special series of seances, and the records of these seances run more than 3,000 pages in length with a fantastic score for accuracy. Mrs. Piper gave some 88 sittings, for example, carefully observed at all times by members of the British Society for Psychical Research. Professor Oliver Lodge, one of England's most brilliant scientists of the day, and a careful investigator compiled a checklist of some 41 specific incidents wherein Mrs. Piper stated facts and general information concerning those who attended her seances, facts which were unknown to those persons at the very time the seances were in session. Mrs. Piper, who had an amazing capacity to find lost objects and to relate incidents which were taking place many hundreds of miles away from where she was in a trance. Professor William James testified to this when Mrs. Piper informed him that his aunt living over 200 miles away was in New York, had died early that morning. On reaching home, sure enough, she had died. You know, this goes on, and there is just, you know, one thing after another where there is no way that information could have gotten to her through, you know. So, you know, when you read about, you know, once in a while these, you know, a police department will get desperate and try to use a psychic, you know, and you say, yeah, that's a bunch of hokey stuff. Well, maybe sometimes it is, but there's an awful lot of stuff where a lot of times, actually, it's not. Sure, those situations open up, you know, cases for fraud and all, but there is, you know, for what it's worth here, case after case after case where these things are actually the case. I should, by the way, read you the names of some folks that have bought into the spiritist thing. Daniel Webster had interest in it. Harriet Beecher Stowe. Elizabeth Barrett Browning. Horace Greeley. Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. That was Sherlock Holmes' author, right? Is that right? Doyle? Didn't he write that? Interestingly enough, a British scientist, Sir William Crookes, accepted spiritualism as genuine, and his testimony in no small way, influenced Dr. William James, the noted philosopher and psychologist at Harvard. So there's a lot here. Let me decide on what I should read you. There's a lot of stuff here that I'm not going to read, but there's pretty exhausting details of things that happened in seances by folks that went in objectively and just on the fly mentioned the name of someone they knew that was dead, and it took 5 minutes, but the appearance of that person showed up, and his voice showed up, and he's sitting there talking and answering questions. You say, what is that, folks? Folks, that's the devil. That's the devil. One of the things that we have to keep in mind with this thing is that the Bible says that the devil is powerful enough that by the end of things that he deceiveth the whole world. The whole world. Okay? The Bible says that he is a liar, and that he is a murderer. Okay? Now, you know, we have an adversary, folks, that has had the ability to watch men succeed and fail for 6,000 years. And we underestimate him. I mean, I'm not trying to raise up a hyper-Satanistic paranoia here, phobia. That's not the goal. You're under the blood. You have the book, and that's really the key. You're saved, and you have a book by which you can interpret everything that happens in your life. You are in no way obligated to your spiritual experiences. In fact, your spiritual experiences should all be judged by what you read in this book. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there's no light in them. But do not underestimate your enemy. There are some folks here, I'm sure, that can tell you some stories that raise the hair on the back of your neck. about some things that they've been through, both before they were saved and after they were saved, and probably about the time that they were working to get saved, looking to get saved, or laboring to get right. And there's plenty of folks here that could. And I just want you to know that the devil's real. Let me give you basically what these folks believe. You'll recognize some of these. The seven principles of the theology of Spiritism are the fatherhood of God. You ever hear that? God is everybody's father on earth. Now, you know what? I know a lot of lost people that would never claim in a million years to be Spiritists that believe that. You know what? God made us all. We're all God's children. Right? Okay. That's what I mean. It's not an issue of you belonging to a Spiritist church. The issue is that Satan is slick enough and powerful enough to have slipped theology in on people. They don't even know where they got it from. The fatherhood of God, the brotherhood of man. All men are brothers. We're all equal, completely equal. There is no favoritism at all with God. There are no God's people. We're all God's people. Continuous existence, that is, you live and you've reached this plane, you know, here, and you're going to pass through another veil into the next reality, and basically it's like a parallel realm where you intermingle after you go and die with us back here, okay, but continuous existence. So certainly no heaven and no hell. Communion of spirits and the ministry of angels. So all of our spirits should all learn to be conscious of the spirit world around us and seek contact and communication with them. I'll tell you what, there's something that's connected with that. Remember, listen to Rex Ella very much, they kind of were, I don't know, a couple of years back, they were the Van Impeys were kind of on an angel kick there for a while. Seems like those things kind of come and go too. But have you ever met a Christian that's completely carried away with angels? You know, he thinks an angel is standing over his kid's crib, and he thinks an angel is sitting on his car hood, and he, you know, thinks the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. And, you know, it's angel, 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 and, you know, we dare not turn away anybody because it might be an angel. We pick up hitchhikers because it might be an angel. Right? Okay? You know what that is? That's Spiritism. It's a preoccupation. Lord never told you to be preoccupied with angels or to worry about them. But that's what it is. They teach compensation and retribution hereafter for good and evil done on earth. And basically they believe in a path of endless progression. Okay, and so this is just another brand of reincarnation. Another brand of kind of a pantheistic heathen thing where, well, I'll explain some more in a second. Here are some excerpts from their writings. Spiritualism is the science, philosophy, and religion of continuous life based upon the demonstrated fact of communication by means of mediumship with those who live in the spirit world. So, look, the proof is that we know there's continuous life because we talk all the time to people in the next world. All you need is a medium. Now, that presumes one thing. That presumes that there is not a devil, which the Bible says there is, that is interested in deceiving you about the next life. Okay? That lands in the same category of experience as the out-of-body experience, just as you think you're going to die and you see the bright light and you feel the warmth and you're not afraid to die anymore, even though they they put the paddles on you and zap you back to life, but you just have the continued warm feeling and you remember the warm light and you just are never afraid to die again because, after all, you were on the other side already. Who said that's what the other side's like? Whoever said that the devil's capability to deceive stopped when you quit breathing. Okay? Who said that the fact that you had some sort of a consciousness after you quit breathing, your heart quit beating for a couple of minutes? Whoever said that the devil's capability to deceive you stopped at that instant? After all, you're still back here. You didn't go on all the way over. Okay? All right, here's something else. Infinite intelligence pervades and controls the universe. Infinite intelligence. It's without shape or form, and it is impersonal, omnipresent, and omnipotent. Now that's God, only it's a very impersonal God. It teaches that the spark of divinity dwells in all. Do you remember, there were a bunch of charismatic preachers preaching that really heavy a few years back. They're still preaching it some, but you know, you're actually all little gods, the spark of divinity. Okay? That every soul will progress through the ages to heights sublime and glorious, where God is love and love is God. Man is a spiritual being evolved from the lower forms of life. Now, I know some of you think that Charles Darwin was the original proponent of evolution, but that's not really true, because there were Gnostic philosophers back at the turn of the millennium, back, I'm talking about when Christ was born, that taught spontaneous generation, which is what evolution is, okay? I mean, there is nothing new under the sun, folks. And these folks believe that man's a spiritual being evolved from lower life forms up through the period of consciousness to the state of the higher moral and spiritual faculties, which survive unaffected the decomposition of the physical body. Good deeds springing from a good heart have a creative force in building pleasant abodes in spirit life. And conversely, the sinful create their own unhappy habitations. The wicked must compensate for their evil deeds here or hereafter. One of the things that they teach is that, you know, there is no decisive point where you're lost. Too late. Oh, no. If you die and are some wretched spirit creature in the next life, you can still get right over there, rectify, and climb the spiritual ladder. Now, the Catholics adopted that as such as purgatory. Okay? But it's really Spiritism. And you have to remember that a lot of Catholicism came out of Gnosticism, which is just a revamped form of this stuff. Quote, it is an absurd idea that Jesus was any more divine than any other man. Tom Paine is the seventh sphere, one above the Lord Jesus Christ. So Tom Paine is above Jesus. Jesus, again, was just some, you know, certainly not the creator of heaven and earth. Well, various other things to be read here, I guess. I don't know how much more I should read for you. Sir Arthur Conan Doyle said this, spiritualism is the greatest revelation the world has ever known. Good old Sherlock Holmes. I have seen spirits walk around the room and join in the talk of the company. We are continually conscious of protective spirits around us. General experience shows that a facile acceptance of these claims of spirit is very rare among earnest thinkers, and that there is hardly any prominent spiritualist whose course of study and reflection has not involved initiation of many years. Well, yeah. Oh, every human soul born into life is a child of God, and the opportunity for development will at some time be realized and taken advantage of. Spiritualism proclaims the doorway to reformation is never closed against any soul here or hereafter. We do not believe in such places as purgatory, that's good, and hell. That's bad. each must work out his own salvation. Okay? So, in brief, and I got some more to cover here, but in brief, this thing is just a semi-pantheistic evolutionary thing, folks. And importantly, again, it's not that important that there are 300 congregations of it that would call themselves Spiritists scattered in churches, you know, in 300 churches across the United States. That's not all that important. Fine, let them meet. The important thing is that many of the things that they teach and believe go far beyond those 300 congregations. They have spread out into all sorts of doctrine amongst people that call themselves Christians. It has invaded the doctrine many times of people that are Christians. That's the thing. See, people have not taken seriously that the devil's real. Now, Israel, I am not trying to make you hyperphobic, paranoid about the work of the devil. You know that I've preached that so many times. You know, the devil is not behind all your problems. You're sufficient for your own problems. It's not, the devil probably didn't cause your flat tire. A nail did. Okay? But at the same time, you can't underestimate Satan. You can't underestimate his power to deceive. And you can't underestimate at times what people experience. And so, you know, I mean, come on, folks. For instance, again, another situation. I was sitting in the home of somebody I know, and his father-in-law was sitting there with us, and, his father-in-law had just lost his wife, and the guy, tells me, he says, my father-in-law, sitting in his chair, and he got the sense after she died, a few days after she died, of being watched. And so he looks up, and at the head of the stairs, there she is, and she was beckoning him to come to her like this. And he went up the stairs to her, and just as he reached out, she disappeared. What do you think that was? I think it was the devil, is what I think it was. But see, a lot of folks find great comfort in that. If that is true, you understand now, if that's true and that's good, then there are parts of the Bible that are untrue. And if you're going to throw away parts of the Bible, then let's throw the whole thing out. And so, if that part is true and good, then the Bible's wrong. That is, what God said His judgments were, are wrong. And so we can throw out Christianity. No, I'm not ready to do that. I'm just going to judge and damn what God says is the devil, and write it off. And if, I have experience with it, I mean, I don't know if you knew this or not, but word has it, history has it, that Martin Luther one time was laying in his bed going through a real hard time, and the history says that he was laying there, and Jesus Christ appeared in a vision to him, and Martin Luther said, "I believe you're the devil, get out of my bedroom." I like that. I appreciate that. You say, "I wouldn't dare do that." You better dare do that. You better dare do that. We walk by faith and not by sight. You better take that verse seriously. All right, now let me just run through some things here, and I'm not going to finish it all tonight by any stretch. We'll finish it next time. I want to show you that the devil is not just a fraud. The devil is not just a clown, a charlatan that puts up a facade that's empty. And, it's, in other words, well, the devil's not just smoke and mirrors. He has real genuine power. I mean, have you not been delivered? He's delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom. Well, he didn't just deliver you from darkness. He delivered you from the power of darkness. You say, well, that just must be just me being dumb. No, it's a lot more than being dumb. Weren't you bound in some ways that had more to do, more than just ignorance? All right, look in Exodus real quick. We'll go through just a few of these and then come back and revisit some more of this next week. Exodus chapter 7. Exodus chapter 7. And in this case, Moses, of course, is in Egypt. going to deliver the children of Israel. Exodus chapter 7, and notice verse 10. I know you know this, but just think about it in this context. Exodus 7:10. And Moses and Aaron went into Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Now, was that God? Yes. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men, and notice, the sorcerers. Now, don't write those words off. You'll see a master list here after a while, but sorcerers, witches, enchanters, diviners, they're other words. Don't write those words off as being, it's a synonym for something else. No, it's a sorcerer. You know what a sorcerer is, right? Simon the sorcerer. There are all kinds of books on sorcery and sorceresses, if that's a word. Verse 11. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers. Now the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments. For they cast down every man his rod and they became serpents. Now who did that? God did the first one. So who did that one? Well, it wasn't God. It defeated the Lord's purpose at the moment, right? Why would he do that? The devil. So the devil does have real power. The devil can turn a stick into a serpent. Think about that. I mean, really. In real life he can do it. Verse 12, and they cast down every man his rod, they became serpents, and Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. Well, praise the Lord. But still the devil did something there. Look in chapter 7, verse 22. Look at verse 21, rather. And the fish that was in the river died. That's because of the blood. And the river stank, and the Egyptians could not drink of the water of the river. And there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. Moses and Aaron raised the rod, turned it to blood. Verse 22, and the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments. How about that? Look in chapter 8, verse 6. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up the frogs. However, now verse 8, and Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me. It's kind of funny because throw down a rod and the Lord's rod eats the magician's rod. That's cool. In this case, both groups can call up frogs, but only the Lord can make them go away. Kind of refreshing, you know. But notice chapter 8, verse 18. I've got to start with verse 17. Sorry. And they did so, for Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and smote the dust of the earth, and it became lice in men and in beast. All the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. So they can't, they couldn't do that. And from this point on, the magicians were pretty much out of, they were out of oomph. Their magic wand lost its twinkle dust or something because they were powerless from this point. But still, there was a fairly impressive show. Now I got one more passage for you, and then we'll take a break. Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18. So folks, if you ever have an experience, some sort of a metaphysical experience, some sort of a psychic experience, don't set your heart on it. I mean, if you've got some wacko dream or whatever, what you know is that the devil's trying to discourage you and mislead you. And so put it under the blood and fight the fight and go on. But don't allow yourself to be dragged into the give and take of, I wonder if that was the Lord. It's not the Lord. The Bible told you it's not the Lord. So be done with it. And call it what it is, and fight the fight. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 9. Now, this is a master list. We're going to come back here and work off this a little bit next week. When thou art come, verse 9, 18:9, into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. Now, there are a lot of things involved with that, but he's specific in this regard. There shall not be found among you any one that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire. Now there are times where the sons and daughters pass through the fire and die. But sometimes they don't die. Sometimes they come out on the other side unharmed.
Whoa, it's God.
No, it's not. It's the devil. Or that useth divination. The Bible says that the Philistines were diviners. You remember Balaam, the son of Beor, the false prophet? He was a diviner, and the people from Moab brought him rewards of divination, it says. Or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits. A few years back, they called those channelers. Now they call them mediums. Or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God, for these nations which thou shalt possess hearkened unto observers of times and unto diviners. They listened to them, but as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee to do so. He didn't suffer you to listen. Any questions or comments? Bryce. Talking computers here. Thank you for bringing that up, Bryce. Brother Paul. Yes, he is. Brother Dave? Right. Yes, it does. Right. Right. That's right. Amen. Matt? Right. Yeah. Interestingly, there was a guy. You know, we were talking about the out-of-body experiences. Car wrecks, heart attacks, strokes, and that kind of thing. And there was actually a guy. I had a tape some time back that actually researched those things. He said it's odd because you hear all the warm fuzzy stories. Now, this is not exactly what you're talking about, but you hear the warm fuzzy stories. But there are plenty of horrific stories about people coming back and being utterly horrified about what they saw and experienced in those few moments gone. He said it's very sobering. But it's just odd that we only get the warm fuzzy ones. Dawn, one more here. Let's stand. Number 36 before we go here tonight. Remind you this, but Sunday is Super Bowl Sunday. We're not bringing in a big screen TV. We're having a missionary.
Amen.
Regular time, regular station. See you at 6. You get a chance to be a blessing to him. So let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness. We pray you'll be with the Demopolis family here this week as they're here for another few days. Pray you bless them in their travels back and forth. Hopefully the roads won't be too slick for them. We ask you to be with the Grimmers, Lord, and some of these other things that are going on with regard to sickness and so on. Pray in Jesus' name, amen.